Good afternoon and welcome to Getting There. For those of you who are wondering, this is the show following Norm and Michael Robbins' Focus on Your Investments on WWPR 1490 AM here in Bradenton, Florida, and for other listeners nationally on bbsradio.com. Getting There is a show that reflects the fact that we're simply not there yet. We may sometimes reach a destination, but we move on. The origin of the phrase getting there, probably to the embarrassment of my children when they were growing up, is normal people, when asked what time is it you give a time, how are you? Well, everybody says, fine, I'm fine, how are you? And you say you're fine, you move on to the normal conversation. I never got that concept down very well. So when people would say to me, how are you? I would always say, getting there. And that's what this show is really about, is to give you some perspective. It's a money show about your life. It's designed to provide information to you that maybe is a little different from a higher altitude, if you will, on what our industry is all about, the products, the services, the investment strategies, the people you may deal with and may hire. For those of us that go on the air that are in the industry, you usually hear a disclosure, brace yourself, that goes something like this. You are listening to Paul Puckett, who is an investment advisor representative of Q1 Advisors in Virginia Beach, serving Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida. Well, the problem is, A, how are you going to understand that? And B, even if you hear it, how are you going to know what it all means? So I wanted to take the opening of the show, Getting There, before we move to topics that are not necessarily directly related to money. By the way, stay on the line. I'm going to be interviewing you, literally, in about 20 minutes. Nobody will be able to hear you because there's more than one of you. But I thought I'd have a little fun to give you the concept of the real meaning behind this show and why you might want to listen. But getting back to the disclosures. So I am Paul Puckett. I'm an investment advisor representative of Q1 Advisors. That's a registered investment advisor firm in Virginia Beach, serving clients in Virginia and Florida and North Carolina. I'm also an insurance agent, independent, working with life insurance, long-term care, fixed annuities in Florida and in North Carolina. Now, what does all that mean? Well, when you hear people in my industry, and they use different names for themselves. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's a matter of how we're regulated. So, for instance, you didn't hear me say I'm a financial advisor. Financial advisor is what we used to call a broker. Brokers work for big firms, Edward Jones, Merrill Lynch, to name a few. There are many of them out there. And they're regulated by FINRA. What you may not know is that, so you talk to a broker, friend recommends, and you wonder to yourself, he seems really bright. He's got experience. Should I trust him with my money? I wonder what his record is. I don't mean criminal record. I wonder if I could find that out. Well, you can. Part of what I want to do on the show is provide you resources so that if you're a do-it-yourself investor and considering transitioning to working with a professional, you can do your homework first. So what you can do is go to a website run by FINRA, that's the Financial Industrial Regulatory Authority, www.finra.org, and they have something called Broker Check. If you go and look me up, it'll tell you to go to the SEC website or the Department of Securities in Virginia, because I'm not a broker, I'm an investment advisor. But if you go to that site and pull up a broker, it will tell you how long they've been in the industry, where they worked, where they were licensed, whether there's ever been any complaints, whether their record is clean, if it's not clean, what were they, involved in and all that. Now, am I telling you that because you should automatically assume most brokers' records are not clean? No, not at all. Most of them are clean. That's the point. It's going to be the rare few you bump into where you're going to find disclosure events, but you should know those before you do business. How often are you tracking the movement of the investments in your account? Is it something you do on your smartphone during lunch? Is it something you can't get away from during the day? If you're working, does it get in the way of your working? If you're retired, does your spouse bring up how much time you spend managing your money? So the concept that I want you to think about is, what is return on investment? When you invest, well, you think, okay, I get income. Cool. If you're lucky, you buy something at $10 and it goes up. That's even better. But what about time? How much time do you spend doing those things, and should you include that in your return? So in the industry, income is referred to as yield. What's the yield on your investments? And capital gains or losses are what you make when you buy or sell. But how much time do you spend? So I want you to start thinking in terms of your whole return. For instance, let's say you have two investors. Both of them, coincidentally, get exactly the same interest. They both earned 2% last year. Both of them had a portfolio that generated 10% in capital appreciation. They had a 10% gain. So 10 plus 2, 12. They both had a 12% return. But what if I tell you the first investor spent roughly an hour a quarter just checking his account and possibly rebalancing? And the second investor spends at least 2 hours a week on the phone with somebody in the industry, spends most of the day monitoring his positions, determining whether to go long, go short, buy, sell. Both of them in the year with 12%. One of them spent 4 hours, and one of them spent, what, 800? Did both of them get the same return? Did both of them get the same return? That's the issue that I think fascinates me with investing. We want to live our lives. We want to enjoy our lives. We'd like money to be a tool that helps us have the ability to do the things we wish to do. But it can become a focus. It can become something that actually eats our time. We're going to go to a brief break. And when we come back, we'll move a little further down that line. Thanks for joining us again on Getting There, 1490 AM WWPR and BBSRadio.com. Welcome back to Getting There. So we've started the show, and you may start wondering, are we going to get stock quotes today? What should I buy? What should I sell? What should I do? Well, if you're in Florida, I don't know if you've looked outside. It's gorgeous today. It's absolutely gorgeous today. As a matter of fact, after the show, I'm quite positive I'll be wandering down to at least one of my favorite haunts, probably Anna Maria Oyster Bar. Why? Because it's a beautiful day, and it'd be fun to celebrate the end of the first episode of Getting There. I want to prepare you for the interview we're going to do in about 10 minutes with some background. What is the purpose to having an investment portfolio? What's the money for? Why do you want it? If you have it, does it make your life better? Questions we often don't ask because we just assume we need to do it. If you're a millennial, how do you possibly save the money necessary to have a portfolio at all? I mean, first you've got to get employed, pay off student debt, do all those things that come with entering the workforce if you're lucky. This message is for grandparents, but if you're a millennial, you can use it next time you're talking to your parents or grandparents. I have a client who was concerned that their extremely successful son in his early 60s said, you know, Mom, I can't retire. Okay. And he makes a lot of money. He's got a house that would be the envy of most listeners. It's worth in excess of $5 million. He has very strong income, but here he can't retire. His children spend more money than she can believe, and it's completely understandable. But I asked her a question, and millennials, this is a question you might want to look at to make yourself feel better. This does not mean you have an excuse, by the way. You still need to do what you need to do. But to put it in perspective, again, that's the goal of this show, is to shift your perspective and get you focusing on those things that improve your life and keep money from detracting from it. 30 years ago, I asked my client, when you and your husband retired, what was your cell phone bill? What did you pay for cable? What did Wi-Fi cost in 1976? Am I doing the math right, listeners? 16 minus 30, is it 1986? At any rate, in 1986, what did you pay for all those things? What did health insurance cost? Her answer, incidentally, was, well, the company paid for that. How many of you currently have a company that pays 100% of the cost of your health insurance? What was the price of gasoline? In the scheme of things, what was the price of your car compared to your compensation? My dad bought a Mustang in 1968, brand spanking new. At the time, he was earning about $7,500 a year. The Mustang was a little less than one-third of that, fully loaded, $2,200. Today, a Mustang costs pretty close to median income, so a car is now 100% of what the average American makes. So it's harder today. Now, millennials, here's the bad part, okay? We shift back to your host does have gray hair. That means you have to realize that you're going to have to work much harder than your parents and your grandparents. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means you have to set aside money earlier, because the other focus of this show and the interview we're going to do with you shortly is time. The younger you are, the more time you have. And time is on your side when it comes to investing, as long as you actually invest. The challenge is actually doing the investing. But once you do that, once you set it all aside, it's important to kick back and have some fun. Now, I have some habits that are fun, that are enjoyable, and a place I'd like to recommend to you here in Bradenton. If you're not in the Bradenton area, you can find something similar, but then again, maybe you should fly into Tampa, come down to McKechnie Field, watch a Pirates game, and on the way, stop at one of my favorite places. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. I'm not kidding when I say coffee is a bit of an obsession. If I could broadcast from B-Town Coffee, I'd be sitting there now. Friends of mine would tell you that they would not be surprised at all to find me sitting there. They may be going down there to see. What's the point? You don't necessarily need to have espresso every day like I do. You don't have to hang out at coffee shops, do you? I highly recommend it. But you do have things that you like to do. Maybe you like to do outside activities, tennis, golf, go for a hike in Robinson's Preserve, whatever it is. And all those things give you perspective. They're the things that make life interesting and give it meaning. Meaning is probably worth a little bit more than your portfolio. So I want you to sort of prepare yourself, because this particular interview gives the message. The purpose is to give the message of what are we talking about? What's important? What's not important? Where should we place our focus? And it's a bit bizarre. So for regulatory purposes and for listener purposes, what I'm going to be talking to you about in our little interview that you will have time to answer any question I ask, what we're going to be talking about is not possible. So if you like the concept of the questions I ask you during the interview, don't call me, don't call the station, don't go online and say, Paul, I'd like to take you up on that offer. I did this a few years ago to illustrate this very point on video, and I had friends look at the video, and I was very surprised by the reaction. We're all different. But it was enlightening for me then, and I hope it will be enlightening for you as well. But I want to reemphasize, the offer I'm going to make to you is a fictitious offer. Its purpose is to make you think. It may be an indication I read too much science fiction and fantasy as a child, or it may just be that sometimes we learn the most important things when they come out of left field and they take us out of our comfort zone, where we actually hear what the real message might be. So prepare yourself. We're going to go to one more brief spot. And I'm looking forward to hearing it. Tommy Hilfiger. I haven't heard this spot before, so let's see what it sounds like.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I hope you're ready. How often has a host interviewed you on air? I called a realtor last year to ask about some property in Virginia Beach on my cell phone, and I was not doing radio at the time, and it was sort of interesting. I was calling to inquire about a rental, and she said, "Am I on radio?" So in this case, you actually aren't on radio, but it's like you are, because however many people you are and how many and where you are, we're going to have a little fun. So here's the deal. You got a letter from me, not Paul Puckett, the investment advisor insurance agent who you're listening to on the radio, but Paul Puckett, who's in a different field representing a client. And the only thing that letter told you was that I would be interested in talking with you about an offer that this client has. They want to buy something from you. And of course, you know, you read the entire letter maybe two times. It's always nice when somebody suddenly offers to buy something from you, but the letter never specifies what it is that he wants to buy. But at any rate, maybe out of interest, or you need some entertainment, or you just don't get out often enough, you agree to meet with me. So we'll begin the interview with my arrival at a coffee shop. We're meeting down at a coffee shop. And I see you, you see me, we connect, you know, that I'm the one you're there to meet, and you get your espresso. I've probably already got mine. I'll probably get another one, and we sit down. And the first thing I'm going to ask you is thank you for joining me. I know the letter was vague, but I have a client that wants to make an unusual offer. They want to buy something from you. Well, what they want to buy let's go into a little more detail. They're extraordinarily wealthy, and they developed the ability to determine lifespan. No, not general lifespan, like what is in different countries, who lives the longest. No, I mean your specific lifespan, or mine, or anyone's. I know that's hard to believe. Oh, I understand. I understand. But here, look, I can answer that question. I can't give you specifics, but the reason we contacted you is you're one of the people that we know will live to at least 100 years, and I can tell you you'll be healthy all the way to the end. No, I can't give you any other specifics as far as how much money you'll have or where you'll live or what you'll do, but I would think it's good news. I mean, congratulations, you're going to be a centenarian. But here's what the client wants to do. In addition to determining this lifespan issue, part of the way he unfortunately discovered this is he did it on himself, and he's only got a couple of years to go, and he's a young man, and as I said, extraordinarily wealthy. He spent part of those 2 years determining if it was possible to transfer some of somebody else's lifespan to him, not taking it, buying it. And so the offer we have for you is he would like to buy 1 year. And now he'll go as short as a month. He wants to buy 30 years, but of course we wouldn't do that from one person. We wanted to make you an offer for a year. You'd make 99 or more, because, again, it's not that you'll live to 100. You may live past 100. But if you're willing to give up 1 year, the price, that is for you to set. What is 1 year worth? What is your time worth? Oh, I didn't expect you to just say something now or even do the deal now. To be truthful, I don't even know that he can actually transfer part of your lifespan to his, but I guess that really wouldn't matter. You'd still get the money. And if you got the money and he was successful, you just lose a year. Certainly, take your time. Think about it. And if you'd like to do it, give me a call and I'll put the two of you in touch. Thank you for your time, and I really appreciate you stopping by. Take care. So if you had that type of meeting with a representative, other than calling the local insane asylum, and if you thought they really could, what is your time worth? Is your time worth more than your money, or is your money worth more than your time? We don't ask that question very often, but let me tell you some follow-up to when I did this as a video. And I'll stick the video back online for fun at gettingthere.life, www.gettingthere.life. And you can see what I looked like 4 years ago. Before I broadcast the podcast version of that interview on video, naturally, I let some of my friends listen to it and watch it. And they get interesting reactions I didn't expect. See, the purpose in developing that little skit, if you will, and thank you again for co-starring. I'm sure you did very well. The purpose was to illustrate that we don't think about what our time is worth. We sell it all the time. For those of you that are at work, listening while you're doing something in your cubicle or at your desk, or if you're driving between appointments, and you're selling your time. And that's okay. You have to. Unless you're born independently wealthy. But we don't think about the importance of how we use our time. And no, I'm not saying don't goof off and go down to the coffee shop, play backgammon, check out Facebook, LinkedIn, and do the other things you do. The point is recognizing that your time is the most valuable asset you have. And that's the point I wanted to make. But, you know, one of my friends said, what are you going to do when somebody who is depressed and down says, hey, I'll give you 50 years if I can be ultra wealthy for 10. If you feel that way, I would suggest you give that a boatload of thought and perhaps talk to somebody that can help you. Because that's not a good way to live, is it? So if you're in the very small number of people that might have felt that way, seek help. You deserve to live a happy life. The other reaction, this one I found more interesting, more profound. They understood, these people, the immense importance of our lives and the time we have, which is limited. But their reaction was, Paul, I know you're just doing this to make a point. I know you don't have a client and there's not somebody out there who knows my lifespan, can buy some of mine and transfer it to them. I know that. But on the offhand chance that is ever possible, call me because I'd like to do it. And I looked at them and I really? You understand the point, yet you would not sell it, but you'd give it. It's priceless. You're going to give it away. And what they said really hit. They said, well, I have a relative of mine that has a chronic disease that shortens their lifespan and affects their life today. If I could give them some of mine, I'd do it. When you tie all three of those reactions together, what we find is that it's important, even on an investing show, even on a money show, the reason it focuses on your life is your life is what's important. Everything you hear on this show about investment products like mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, annuities, CDs, bonds, whatever we talk about, is in the context of what's the money for? It better be to improve your life, to provide for your life, to provide for your children, family, whoever you're responsible for. It shouldn't be, well, it's the more I have, the better. I'm willing to sacrifice as much time as I have for more money. Who cares if I ever have any fun? It's an important question to ask. So ask yourself, this is not part of the obviously interview, but ask yourself, what's the money for? What am I working for? Why am I doing it? Once you know that answer, then you start looking at, well, how do I invest it? What's the best way to invest? Do I want to do it myself? Do I want to do it myself in conjunction with a professional? Do I want to spend a lot of time reading blogs, listening to investment radio, listening to watching investment TV, reading media, subscribing to the Wall Street Journal, or would I rather hire somebody else to do that? it's your personal choice because it's your life. But think about whole return, how much time you spend, as well as the investment return you get. And for heaven's sakes, next time you're at the coffee shop, if you see me, say hi, but don't tell me what your investment return is. Don't tell me it's better or worse than your neighbor. Don't compare. Live your life the way you wish, invest the way you wish, and I hope on this show we can help you find a way to improve your life and get a better return on your portfolio possibly at the same time. We're heading towards the bottom of an hour, so let's take a quick break.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Welcome back. Now, what else is going to be on this show? Well, we're going to talk about music a lot. Music is a big part of my life. We're going to cover some events locally that you may want to go to. I would encourage those of you out of the listening area, you go to the website, get out and hear a live concert, get outside and have some fun. We're also going to feature a piece of music each week because it's amazing to me when you think about it, how many songs are written out there about one topic that eventually maybe you learn from on another. And sometimes I think the best book I could write would be everything I needed to know about investing I heard on the radio or from my CD collection. So we're going to play a song here in a minute. And I also wanted to open the lines for callers. I recognize, given the topics today, you may wonder what to call about. You can call about anything you like related to money, specific investments, portfolios, strategies, what you should do or shouldn't do. The first question I'll be asking is, well, what's the money for? But secondly, keep in mind that on a show, I know you only by first name and where you're calling from. I can't give you specific advice, but I can answer questions you have about what you have and give you some general advice on whether you should consider making a change. So the numbers here, toll free, 1-888-761-1490, 1-888-761-1490, or here in Bradenton, 745-1490. Now, the song you're going to hear, I think you'll know. My goal is to eventually introduce you to some artists, to some musicians, to some music that maybe you don't know. You know, a lot of artists struggling to get their CDs exposed, to get out there. And I love independent music. I love blues. Really, I love everything. But this particular artist I had the pleasure of meeting years ago, he probably does not remember me. We stood on the side of a cruise ship, a singer-songwriter cruise. I highly recommend one if you get a chance. Of course, I'm not really a country music fan, but I got to tell you, when I found out the guy I was talking to on that side of that ship that was playing backup with I Love It, John Hyatt, Patty Griffin, and everybody else that was on the Kayamo cruise that year. If you ever want to go on that cruise, by the way, just Google Kayamo, C-A-Y-A-M-O. It's an awesome cruise for singer-songwriter music. Who would have known he'd win a Grammy shortly later? He had told me, well, I'm playing backup because Lyle thinks if I get my name out there, I'll make it. Later, I found out he and I share an ancestry in the same hometown, mine from over 100 years ago and him from his own life. I doubt he's listening, but Zach Brown, if you're out there, thanks again for that wonderful afternoon in St. Thomas, if I recall. Let's go back to the lyrics of that song, though. Spent the night with a, well, okay, we'll skip out the bottle of good whiskey. Picked guitars. I wish I could do that. And talked about the glory days and how we missed them. But it didn't take too long to find the truth inside that bottle. Cast to sea so long ago was a message from my father. You keep your heart above your head and your eyes wide open. So this world can't find a way to leave you cold. And no, you are not the only ship out on the ocean. And, you know, when you hear a song you don't know, no is K-N-O-W. It's K-N-O-W. And no, you are not the only ship out on the ocean. Save your strength for things that you can change. Forgive the ones you can't. You got to let them go. So what I'd ask is you consider letting go of anything in life you regret that you can let go, particularly your investment mistakes. Now, why is this important? I've been doing this, not radio, but I've been doing the investment business as a private banker, insurance agent, investment advisor. I was a broker for a period of time since 1988, I think. And what I found is the biggest hesitancy people have to sit down with a professional like Norman Michael Robbins in the show before mine, focusing on investments, or myself or anybody, is they sort of don't want to let us see their mistakes. They don't want us to know what they already know, which is they need to make a change. And that's why it's important, critically important, that you get to the point you can just let it go. You know, here's the thing. All right, this may sound a little esoteric, okay, but here's the thing. If you want to make a change to something, you can't change the past. You can change your perspective on the past, but you have no power there. The future's not here yet. All you have is now. And so here's what I'm proposing to you. Like Zac Brown, keep your heart above your head and your eyes wide open and let it go. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. Enjoy the moment and put your money in its place. Starting next week, we'll be interviewing guests periodically, and they're going to come from different industries. And if you'd like to suggest someone I should have on, go to www.gettingthere.life. Might surprise you, particularly if you don't know much about what I do, the investment side. But building a menu, building a dish, putting together any ingredients is almost identical to building a portfolio. So we'll probably eventually have a chef, I have one in mind here locally, to come on and talk about how to design a dish. In addition to coffee and music, I happen to love food. So it might be fun to have them on, maybe a master gardener. But at any rate, we'll be doing an interview at least once a month, if not twice a month, from people in other industries or from my own on where they see the benefits to making your life better, whether you don't have enough money or you have too much. I'm looking forward to doing that. Now, other things we'll do is announce some music events here locally, talk about different venues where people are playing. If you're a local artist, I've had the pleasure of meeting many, and you'd like some of your music featured on the show, that's a courtesy, by the way. Let me know. I'd be happy to take a look at some things. I know a lot of you and a lot of your music and would love to have you on. But at any rate, let's move to one specific investment that Norman Michael Robbins covered towards the end of Focus on Your Investments, because some of you guys may still be listening. Even though this show is different, it's a similar topic, you may be there. They were talking about annuities, and it perked my ear because, and I agreed with a lot of what they said. Of all the things that are in my industry, annuities are the most controversial among those of us that are in the industry. So financial advisors, insurance agents often will recommend an annuity. Investment advisors like me rarely do. Of course, I'm also an insurance agent. So when you hear the word annuity, what is your reaction? Really? I did hear you. You probably recoiled. I'm in the industry and I recoil. If you think you get phone calls on different products picture yourself as someone who is independent and represents most companies that have a product to offer. Okay. But annuities are like people. I'm going to warn you in advance. A lot of them are not worth it. They're not tax efficient, as you may be told they are, and they can be very expensive. So one of the things we'll cover for the rest of the hour is, well, how do you know? Why would you buy one? Okay, first of all, if you're younger than, say, 40 to 50 years old, there is no reason probably for you to buy an annuity. Somebody might recommend a variable annuity to you, but there's reasons that's not a good idea. Variable annuities are the securities version. They combine sub-accounts that are similar to mutual funds with insurance. It's basically an insurance wrapper. And what that does is allows you to not pay any taxes at all while you build up the account, similar to a 401k or an IRA. The problem is, variable annuities have there are some no-load variable annuities, have an insane cost level, in my opinion. You might be paying 1 to 1.5% in what's called mortality and administrative expenses for the product. And then, let's say you have 10 to 18, sometimes more, sub-accounts, again, like mutual funds, an S&P 500 index, for instance, a growth fund, a value fund. What are you paying for those? Well, these aren't mutual funds or exchange-traded funds. So, generally speaking, on the equity side, you're looking at 1% or more. On the bond side, you might be looking at 0.5% to 1%. If you do the math, we're now approaching 3%. Go, okay, but Paul, they tell me I can get 6% guaranteed per year. Maybe 7. Well, the problem with my industry is we say things we think people understand, particularly if we're new in the industry, and we assume that you know that 6% per year guaranteed means 6% distribution of income from your account, and if there's not enough income from the assets of your account for the rest of your life. Sounds good. It is good, maybe. But the assets in a variable annuity fluctuate. So variable annuity is the type of annuity you probably will never hear me say anything positive about on the show. I've never actually sold one in my career. Variable annuities are making changes now that may make them better, but they're expensive. What works for most retired people, particularly in today's bond market, are the more boring annuities that are more like certificates of deposit. So you tell an insurance company, hey, I'm going to give you 10 grand, 50 grand, 100,000, whatever, and you're going to give me 3% for 5 years. Well, the only thing you get is 1% higher than a bank, and you lose the FDIC insurance. That type of product can be very valid if you're retired. Again, millennials out there, if someone suggests an annuity to you, if you can't figure out a way to say no, feel free to reach out to me online and I'll send you a little letter to send to them that says, no, I don't want it. But if you're approaching retirement, they can be very appropriate vehicles. The problem is figuring out which one might be right for you. I picked annuities to talk about today only because they seem to be a big topic. And a controversial topic. You may have heard the Department of Labor is coming out with a new rule. Oddly, I don't really support the rule as it is written, but I support the concept. We talked earlier at the opening of the show about financial advisors, also known as brokers, investment advisors, and insurance agents. What I didn't talk about is the method the regulators use to measure whether those people are doing the right thing or not. Brokers, also known as financial advisors, and insurance agents, like me, are held to something called the suitability standard. Suitability standard just means we know, given a certain bit of information from our prospective client or client, we need to know their net worth, their income, their liquid assets, what they have as far as time on their hands, how old they are, and how much they need to invest. And then we can make a suitable recommendation. Now, don't confuse suitable with correct recommendation. It's not individualized. It's across a group. So if 100 people have a net worth of $500,000, an income of $80,000, and $100,000 to invest, a broker, an insurance agent, couldn't just offer the same exact product to all of them. Investment advisors have always been held to a different standard than that. It's called the fiduciary standard. Now, let me caution you. That does not mean it's a better standard, or it does not mean they're necessarily doing a better job. There are good brokers, there are good insurance agents, and there are good investment advisors. But here's what the fiduciary standard means. The fiduciary standard means the advisor must act in their client's best interest, which sounds really, really good. The problem is it's also really, really broad. So it's individualized recommendations, but based on the advisor's own biases. Believe it or not, and if you're driving right now, this may come as a shock. Investment professionals are actually human. I know that that may come as a shocker. I've met some that make me wonder, and I've had people probably wonder about me at times. But the fiduciary standard is what the Department of Labor is going to require all people who work with retirement plans, rollover IRAs, and things of that nature to act in your best interest. It makes it more incumbent upon you to make sure you know who the advisor is, what type of clients they normally work with, how well they know their products. It doesn't mean an annuity, a variable annuity for that matter, won't get recommended to you. It just means the advisor's accountability has now shifted partially, if it's a broker, to FINRA, but now the Department of Labor is stepping in as well. The overall concept is a great concept. People should act in other people's best interest, whether it's the investment industry or another industry. But the product itself, whether it's a mutual fund, exchange-traded fund, annuity, which most of us automatically think of as bad, none of the products are necessarily bad. As far as the general, is a mutual fund bad? I don't know which one. Is an exchange-traded fund bad? What are the differences between those? We'll cover that next week. Annuities, though, be careful, as you heard in the previous show. Take a real close look at what is your money for. Do you need the income in retirement on top of Social Security and other things? If you're a millennial, what do you need to save so that eventually you can buy an income stream, which is one way you can use an annuity, an immediate annuity? It's not as complex a product as it sounds. The key is to having a professional who knows that product and knowing the company's financials, because when you buy any insurance product, who are you relying on? The insurance company. Genworth announced recently in the news that they're settling, not admitting any guilt, but settling securities charges related to their long-term care business. When you buy a long-term care policy like an annuity, you're probably going to be in that product for a very, very long time and have to depend on it. Who's the insurance company behind it? How are they rated? You need to have the security and knowledge that the product you pick is with a company that's going to be around. Insurance companies, very few have failed over the years compared to, for instance, banks. But that doesn't mean you should automatically assume just because a company is in business that their products are worth buying. So for call-in purposes on this show, that's the type of question you can ask. Hey, I'm looking at a pack of life. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that. We can dig down into those details. But the message of the show is bigger than that. What I'd love you to call for, what I'd love you to listen for is, well, Paul, you know, I've got more than I thought I would ever have. Why am I not happy? Why am I so focused on the money? Why am I not letting this go, as Zach Brown said? So the focus of the show is the message, but I wanted to talk a little bit about a product and let you know it's okay to call in and ask, you know, hey, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I bought this. Should I keep it? Or I've been considering buying this. Should I buy it? Or I heard an ad on WWPR that recommended this. Should I call? Those are the types of topics that other listeners can benefit from. We're going to take our last break before we go into the close of the hour. I want to thank you again for joining me. And we'll cover maybe a little news update here towards the end. And if I can find the commercial here. You'll be amused to know, friends of mine, that I'm actually looking at the board right now. It has my name on it. There we go. This is the other place I'll be heading later. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. You know, if I play a commercial twice in 1 hour with my voice recommending an espresso shop, it must be good. Well, maybe you don't know, but it is. So, what do we have this week here in Bradenton? For those of you in California, I apologize, but we have St. Paddy's Day everywhere, don't we? Thursday, Yankees versus Pirates, McKechnie Field. That's not far from a lot of great places to enjoy St. Patrick's Day, now is it? I recommend Uber, taxis, Lyft, or a designated driver, but nonetheless, 1:05, I think, p.m., the first pitch flies. If you've never been to McKechnie Field in Bradenton, make sure you make it back to that back deck at some point during the game. We're supposed to have a little cold front coming in this weekend. I don't do the weather. I'm not actually looking at the weather. I'm doing it from memory because I enjoy golf. And I don't believe Saturday and Sunday are going to be good days for that here in Florida. So for those of you in California and elsewhere where the weather is always nice, enjoy. If you get the idea this show is scripted, I don't know where you got that idea. It's not. I like the challenge of trying to find interesting things to cover, but I tell you why. Because we're all getting there. Getting there is more than a journey. It's life is a journey, but the getting there part is what you should focus on. Just to reemphasize how we started this conversation, which I'd like you to think of it as, your life and the time you have is worth more than any price that can be paid. Yes, you have to sell it for purposes of working and earning enough to do the things that you want to do. But always keep in mind, particularly as you approach retirement, one of the biggest transitions we go through, it's almost as bad as going from our house to kindergarten. You know, you leave the workforce, you go home. Put your focus on what it is you want to do, the things that you enjoy, the people you love and spending time with them, not on whether or not you should buy or sell IBM stock, unless you enjoy that, in which case that's fine. But the focus to me when it comes to money is the money is a tool. It shouldn't be your focus. It shouldn't be something you compare to your neighbor